Okay. All right. Good afternoon. I hope everybody had a good break. Had a lot of turkey. Had time with friends and family. Watched the close UVA Virginia Tech game. That was tears. Every year since I've graduated, I've watched that game with one of my friends who went to Virginia Tech. And every year since I've graduated, we've lost. And this year, I was so hopeful. Okay. All right, today we're gonna talk about virtual memory. So we're gonna pick up where we left off before the class, before Thanksgiving break. So let's get started. So last time we talked about this notion of a program having virtual addresses, and then these virtual addresses getting mapped to physical addresses. And the mechanism that was doing the mapping, we called a page table. And this page table, and this page table was managed by the operating system. And so the thing that we mentioned that motivated this was that if we had two programs, program one and program two, we want them to seem like they have all of the memory to themselves. So we divide memory into these chunks that we called virtual pages. And through this address translation process, these virtual pages mapped to physical pages. So here, the program has a virtual page one for program one and virtual page one for program two. And they map to two separate physical pages, physical page two and physical page eight. And in the case where there is a shared library, we could have them map to a single page location that's read-only. And this will be important, as we'll see later. So we can also kind of think of virtual memory as a kind of tool for caching. And in particular, we want to kind of make it very concrete what we mean by physical memory, so that we have a very deep understanding here. So we can think of as virtual memory as this kind of contiguous section stored in memory, where each page can have three properties associated with it. It can either be unallocated, means that we haven't allocated that physical page yet. It could be cached, in this case, it means that it is in physical memory. Or it could be uncached, which means it exists on disk. So this might seem really abstract, so let's kind of make this concrete. So as we've talked about caching, this is a kind of a cross-section of a chip here. And so on chip, we'll have the L1 cache, the L2 cache, and the shared L3 cache. And so these will be on chip, and they're built using a technology called SRAM. It's just a special way of organizing the transistors as opposed to DRAM. It's actually more expensive to do this. And so this is a reason for having less of it and keeping it really close to the chip in order to reduce access time. Some chips have SRAM outside, but they're normally kind of on the motherboard. And then you have DRAM. DRAM are these little slots, chips that you normally see that connect to your PCI bus on your motherboard. And then disk here, which will have the final destination for all your addresses. So DRAM is normally 10 times slower than SRAM, this level of caching. And disk is normally 10,000 times slower. And so DRAM is, in effect, a cache for disk. And so when we are talking about physical memory in this lecture, we're referring to DRAM here, this physical DRAM here. And when we're talking about disk, we're referring to the hard disk. So because DRAM and disks are so slow, whenever we have to access them, we want to take a huge chunk out so that we get a lot for that time penalty. So these block sizes are typically large, four kilobytes or 4 megabytes. And normally, this DRAM, we can think of it as a fully associative memory, where each virtual page can be placed in any physical page, physical block in our DRAM memory. And the replacement algorithms are very expensive. And so normally we have very simple replacement algorithms that are handled by the OS here. And least recently used, or a variant, something close to least recently used is normally used. And these DRAM caches, in quotes, are normally write back rather than write through. Okay. So we've talked about this mapping that's kind of determined by the processor last time, and we looked at page tables and so on. And we went through this this example of virtual address mapping to a physical address. And we said that this was the physical page offset, determining the last bits here represent the physical page offset. And then the physical page offset is the same for both virtual pages and physical pages. In other words, they are the same size. And then we said these bits here, this represents our page number, physical page number, and these bits represent our virtual page number. And we went through this idea of a page table that creates a mapping between our virtual page number and our physical page number. And we had this notion of unallocated pages where the physical page number is actually nothing. It means that that page was unallocated. So any questions about this from last time? So in addition, we introduced these notions of the kernel-only mode and the valid bit. So the valid bit says, is the page in DRAM? And the kernel-only bit says, is it a this page is only accessible by the operating system, the OS. So if the kernel bit is 1, only the OS can read that section of memory. And so we did this to prevent user programs from modifying the pages. And one of the things is that this is not the same as sudo. Sudo is giving user level permissions, giving permissions to a that's kind of bad, to a specific user. And then we went through the process of doing address translation, where we're taking a virtual address, in this case, and translating it to a physical address that would get sent to cache. And we did this by doing a page table lookup. So we took our virtual address and we split it into our page offset section. So remember, the page offset is always the same for virtual addresses and physical addresses. And we took our virtual address section, looked it up in the page table for the particular index, got out our physical corresponding physical page number, concatenated that with our page offset and our page number to get our final physical address that was sent to memory. And if we were in user mode and the kernel bit was set to 1, we would throw an exception. If it's set to 0, we accept it. Or we'd also throw an exception if the page was if the invalid bit was set. So any questions on this? virtual hash function. So the job of the page table is to map the virtual page number to the physical page number. It is a lookup. Some processors do implement, if the page table gets too big, you can implement a hash function, but it's not often done. It's very rarely done. The strategy that we'll look at for compressing the page table is using something similar to a tree. Another page, another table that we'll use is kind of indirection. So the first higher level page table will point to another page table, and we'll discuss that in more detail later. Any other questions? So we can think of this kind of page table as an array of page table entries, PTE, that maps virtual pages to physical pages. And one important thing to note is this is a per process table. So each process that's running has its own page table. And this is a kernel level data structure that's sometimes stored in DRAM. So if we look at this page table, if we look up some entry and it's actually valid, the valid bit's set to one, that's called a page hit. So a page hit references some virtual memory word that is in physical memory, particularly DRAM. So this valid bit means that this virtual page is in DRAM. So if we look here at our virtual memory addresses, these are on disk. We have virtual page 1 through virtual page 7, and there's no virtual page 5. We'll come back to that. Our valid bit is only going to be set to 1 if that page is cached in our DRAM. So in this case, virtual page 1, 2, 4, and 7 are in our DRAM, and so the valid bits are set to 1. And we get a page hit if when we look up their virtual address and its corresponding address in the virtual table, if the valid bit is set to 1. Then we know that we have a cache hit, and that means that our page must have been in DRAM and is not in on disk. So any questions about the notion of a page hit?
So the valid bit is set to 0 when it's not in DRAM, but it can exist in disk. But if it doesn't exist in either place.
Yes. So that is another fault we'll get to in 3 slides. So just to kind of articulate the question so everybody understands it, the question is, there are 2 other times when the valid bit can be 0. The valid bit can be the first time, which is the next one that we're going to look at, is when it's on disk but not in DRAM. And then the second time is where it's nowhere at all. So we can see how to recover from the first time, but how do we recover from the second time? So this is a notion of a page fault. So say, for example, we have a virtual address that accesses some memory location, in this case, virtual page 3. Virtual page 3 is not in DRAM, but it's on disk. So this is our first scenario that was articulated. So the valid bit here is 0. So technically, this is a fault, and we'll throw an exception that will need to be handled by the OS. However, the OS knows how to handle this exception. Because the virtual page exists, it can simply decide which one of these pages to evict from DRAM and replace with virtual page 3. So in this case, we selected page 4. And so we can take page 4. Page 4 already exists on disk. We're simply replacing page 4 with page 3. And we set the valid bit here to 1, indicating that that address is now in DRAM. And we can actually, for these type of failures, we can recover from them in a very clean way. And this is the idea of demand paging. So let's look at a practical example of this to kind of make it really concrete. So here's some space on some program memory. Parts of it's used by the OS, some of it's stack, then there's a heap, other dynamically allocated memory, data that we can write, code, and some constants. So for each program, we could allocate a lot of stack space, but we might only end up using a small section of it. In this case, we have 4 kilobyte pages, and we're using 3 of them. So we're only using 12 kilobytes of stack space. But we've wasted all of this space here on the stack. Ideally, what we'd love to do is we just like to allocate this much space on the stack and then grow it as we continue. So what if we could only allocate space as we kind of need it? So let's consider this example. We have our stack pointer here, RSP, that's pointing to this virtual page here in memory. And we decrement it. And as we decrement it, it goes just outside of that virtual page. So now it's here, this page. But this page is not valid. It's not in DRAM. And it's not in DRAM because it hasn't been allocated yet. It's not one of the uncached examples. It's one where we have not allocated that memory yet. But the OS can be smart. It can say, oh, OK, I see a page fault. This is regarding the stack. I can just allocate more stack space. I can extend those virtual addresses. And I can simply rerun this instruction. So I can recover gracefully from this fault. So any questions on this? Nope. Yep. Yes, so when we allocate on demand, we could copy that page up into DRAM. Say again? When it's on disk, it affects something that... Yes, so if we have to take something from disk and replace, and DRAM's full, then we would evict something from DRAM and send it to disk. Thank you. So the other type of page fault is the one that was mentioned, which is this one. What if we have a null entry here, and it's not the case that we can do that dynamic allocation from before? So there's just no page virtual memory section that's associated with that. So we're accessing a thing where the valid bit's 0, indicating it's not in DRAM, and there's no corresponding virtual memory page on disk. This could happen if you have an array out of bounds exception. So there's no array there. There's no memory associated with it. And in this case, you'll get a page fault. It might manifest itself as a segmentation fault. And the OS will simply kill that program because it can't recover from that fault. So it will kill that program and all of the page table associated with it. So it might seem that going to memory, because we have this 10x and 10,000x events that are happening to go to DRAM and then to go to disk, it might seem that that would be really inefficient. But we have locality. And sometimes, even on modern systems, on some modern systems, the whole program will fit in DRAM. Because imagine if you have a device with 16 gigs of RAM. That's great. The whole program fits in memory. And if the whole program doesn't fit in memory, the working set for the program might still fit in memory. And so then we'll have great temporal locality, which leaves us with even smaller working sets, which all fit in DRAM. And so the only cost that we pay is the compulsory misses to populate DRAM. So any questions on this? So for memory-constrained devices, if the working set is a lot smaller than main memory, this is great. We have good performance after the compulsory misses. But if we're on a memory-constrained device, and the sum of all the working sets, assuming we have multiple processes running on the memory, running on the CPU, if we're on a memory-constrained device and sum of the working sets greater than the main memory size, we'll get thrashing. So if you think about those page tables, if I have to keep replacing page tables over and over again, then I have to keep paying this this hit. My whole working set's not fitting in my DRAM cache, in quotes. And so I had to keep replacing over and over again. So any questions on these ideas? OK. So let's imagine we have some layout for our program in memory. And this is the layout that we're going to choose. We're going to have one valid bit. It's going to be the upper bit of our address. Then we're going to have a kernel bit. Then our physical page number, next 10 bits. And then the remaining 4 bits, we won't use at all. So we have this 16-bit structure. And this is going to hold our page table entries. So one of the things that we need is we need to have a special register that stores the base table value. So this stores the value of our base table register. All right. And so it will point to the first address in our page table. And so then we can have our page table laid out like this in memory, where our first bit is our valid bit, our second bit is our kernel bit, and the next 10 bits represent our physical page number. So it will look like this. So any questions on this? So our valid bit is here, and our page number is here. So let's look at the process of translating from a virtual page, address to a physical address. So our address is going to be divided into two sections. First section is our virtual page number. And the second section is our page offset. So any ideas on how we would start breaking this down? What would we need to do to get the first address of our page table? Yes, so we have to access the base address, page table base address. And then what do we do with the virtual address, though? How would we use the virtual address in conjunction with that base table address? Yes, so we would add it, but we would have to scale it by a little bit, right? Because say, for example, this page table contained page offset values 20, 21, and so on. If we're just looking at the first part of the virtual address, we have to scale it by the size of our page table entries. So this is equivalent to doing this, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, where the number of zeros match the size of the offset here, which is equivalent to the page table entry size. Yeah, size of the what? But this is the size of the page table entries. Yes. Yeah, size of the page table entries. So here, and we look at our base register. And so then we use that to access our memory to get our location of our page table. And from there, we split the page table entry into our physical address size and we check our valid bit and our kernel bit. And then we take our address, concatenate it onto the end, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. And this will be our final physical address that we send to memory. And so this process is managed by a component called the memory management unit, the MMU. And so that's what's responsible for translating these virtual addresses into physical addresses. And so as you look at this, you might think, oh no, one virtual page access now has turned into two memory accesses, because we have to look up the page the page table index, and then we finally look at the page table address. And so this is not great, because we're accessing memory more and more, and this is going to slow our program down. And it might even be worse, because we access our program, our memory twice. We access it during the fetch cycle of our pipeline and during the memory stage. And so during these two stages, we've accessed the instruction cache and the instruction and the data cache. And so now we've kind of taken our accesses from 2 to 4. And so this is even worse. And so in the next couple of lectures, we'll talk about this notion of a TLB, or translation look-aside buffer. That goes through, and it acts as a cache for the memory management unit. So, let's talk a little bit about on the sizes of these virtual addresses. So you might think, oh, the virtual address is going to be the same size as a pointer. So on a 64-bit machine, our virtual address should be 64 bits, but that's not the case. On a typical x86 64-bit machine, 48 bits of those 64 bits are used for virtual addressing, and the remaining bits are sign extended. So let's look at an example, see if we can leverage what we've looked at so far to solve this. So given some program with 32-bit virtual addresses and a page size that is 4 kilobytes, how many virtual pages are there? How many virtual pages? And this should be how many virtual page numbers are there? Say again?
2 to the 7.
So if we look at our 32-bit address, our page offset is going to be 12 bits. So the remaining 20 bits are going to be our virtual page number. Any questions on this? So these. Remember the page offset, right, gets sent to memory and then gets concatenated with our page, physical page number plus the page offset. And this gets sent to our table for looking up the index. And so there are 20 bits. So 2 to the 20 possible indices in this table. 2 to the 20 possible virtual page numbers. Or 2 to the 32 divided by 2 to the 12, which is 2 to the 32 times 2 to the negative 12, which is 2 to the 20th. Any questions on this? Does this make sense? So what would be the size of the page table if it was laid out like the ones that we've seen so far? Assuming that we have a valid bit and a kernel mode bit and the page table number. So how big would the memory be? Any ideas? So we know that there are 2 to the 20 entries, right? So we need to figure out how big those page table entries are. So how big are those page table entries? So the page table entries hold a valid bit, which is only one bit, a kernel mode bit, and then the rest of it is the physical page number. And so how big is this physical page number? Well, you look at the physical address, it's 30 bits. And how big is the page offset? It's 12. So the remaining 18 bits, 30 minus 12, 18. Remaining 18 bits are going to be our page number. So each page is going to contain 18 bits of the page number, 1 bit of the kernel bit, 1 bit of the valid bit, and the rest is, and they're going to be 2 to the 20 of these. So overall, they're going to be 2 to the 20 times 20. Whoops. Entries per table. And so this is pretty large. This is about 20 megabits or 2.5 megabytes. So any questions on this? Do we see how we got that? So here's some address. And so we want to split this address into page number and page offset. So any ideas on how we would do this? Yeah, so 6, 7, 8, this is going to be our page offset. And how did you get that? Yes, so there are 12 bytes in our address, and 12 bits in our address for the page offset. And 12 bits is going to be 3 nibbles. Where a nibble is 4 bits, and so the last 3 nibbles here are going to be our page offset. And that means that the next 5 nibbles are our page number. Whoops. And so that's our breakdown. So we kind of have this like these two kind of problems, right? One is that we have 2 extra cache accesses, and we'll talk about this notion of a TLB in the next couple of lectures. And the page tables are kind of really huge, and so we'll talk about a solution for that later on, which is this notion of kind of a tree structure to solve this, or multiple levels of indirection. But for now, let's still go with this kind of flat approach, and let's see if we can solve these lookups. So we have a 5-bit virtual address and a 6-bit physical address. So here, here's our page table entry. And each of the page tables, each of the pages, sorry, are 8 bytes. So this would be one of our pages. And so we need 3 bits, this is 8 bytes, 3 bits to represent it. So in our physical address breakdown, our address is going to be 3 bits of page offset, 3 bits of physical page numbers, and so that's consistent with our table. And for our virtual addresses, it's going to be 3 bits of page offset, 2 bits of virtual page numbers, which is here, consistent with our index from before. So any questions on this breakdown? So what would be the memory address at 1-8, question? What would be the value at that memory address? Anybody have any ideas? So if we break this down, 1810, in our virtual address space, right? So 8 is going to be 0, well, first bit's going to be 1. And then what's the next 4 bits going to be? So 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, or 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, 2 to the 3. And so our final virtual address is going to be 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. And what part of that constitutes the page, the virtual page number? Remember from before, we said it's the first 2. So we look up here, and that will be location 11. And so our physical address, physical page number at that location is 00. So that means our final address is going to be 00 for our physical page number, and then 00 for our page offset. And our final page is going to be 0, which is here. And so the value at that address is 0. And so this is going to be 00 at that address. What about the next one? Does anybody want to try the next one? So for the next one, the value is 03, which is going to be 110001. And the first value here is going to be our virtual page number, which is 10. Sorry, hold on 1 second. This is 0, sorry. It's going to be 00. And so that's going to correspond to page 010. And then our offset is going to be the same, so 011. So this is going to be our final physical address. And so this is the equivalent of 3-1. And where is 3-1 in our memory? Or 1-3, sorry, 1-3. In our memory, 1-3 is here, 1-3. So it's going to be 4A. The other way we could look at it is we could say this is at page 1-3, which is 4A. 0, 1, 0, 1, 1. There's one more 0 here. So, for address 4A. Does anybody want to try the next one? Okay. So 0A, this would be at memory address. So if we break this down, A is going to be 10, which is 010. Zero, so this would be our final address here. So the first 2 bits represent our page, and so we can index into our page, and it would be here, sorry. So this would be 111, and the next set is going to be our second page, which is 1010. And so our final address is 11010. So if you look at this, this would be A, and this is going to be 3. So this would be address 3A. Whoops. So there's 3A, which is here in this page. And so that would be 8, 9A. DC here. Okay. What about the last one? Does anybody notice anything unique about this access? This access is strange in a lot of ways. So does anybody see it? So 1, 3 is going to be 10011. So it's going to be virtual page number 10. Does anybody notice anything yet? So the valid bit's set to 0 here. And so in this case, OR page is going to result in a page fault, or a lookup is going to result in a page fault because our value is 0. And so this address is a page fault. So any questions on this? Okay, great. So when we tried to access this address, 10, and we went to this page, this address was, the valid bit was 0. So we know that it's not in DRAM, so we have to trigger a fault. So two possible faults that could happen: if it was an allocation thing, the operating system could handle that fault by allocating the page and pulling it in. But if it was an out-of-bounds fault, it would kill the program. But whenever the valid bit is set to 0, it results in a fault. So here's another kind of approach that virtual memory is really good for. Say we have two programs, one MST3K and XYZ4W. So we load both of these. User MST3K loads XEMAX, and user XYZ4W loads XEMAX, and they're on the same machine. Ideally, we don't want to have two copies of the XEMAX program running on the machine. That would be a waste of space. And it could also be problematic. Does anybody see like a possible fault that could happen here with this approach? What could be a bad thing? Say one user on this machine triggers a bug in XEMAX, right? And XEMAX crashes and modifies its data. Then because, hold on 1 second. I did not do this kind of shared. So ideally, the best approach is to share the data between the two processes. And if we share the data between the two processes, if somebody's running code in XEMAX and they break it on their machine, it would break on for everybody running XEMAX on that machine. So ideally, we'd only like to have kind of one copy of the program, but we don't want the program to crash if one user tries to modify the code. And we still want to kind of keep this illusion of having your own memory. So we can add, from this kind of example from before, where we have our virtual memory and we have this shared page for some shared library or shared code, we can add this kind of read-only metadata to the page. And with that read-only metadata, if some benign bug gets triggered in XEMAX 1, then it won't be able to modify that code, that memory location. So user 2 will be able to run along happily. So as we start to think about this, we can have these read, write, and execute bits associated with each of our physical pages. And this is not the same as chmod in any way. So chmod is a file system level modification, and the file system is a part of the OS. This is processor specific. So This is not associated with the file system. So before we start diving into some exercises, let's kind of just summarize some key ideas with page tables. So all program memory is virtual, and all real memory is physical, and each memory is divided into kind of fixed size pages, where virtual pages are the same size as physical pages. And each virtual page has a page table entry. And it also has a physical page. And this entry could be in DRAM and on disk. Everything in DRAM is also on disk. And it has valid bits and permission bits associated with it. And all page table entries are going to be stored in this page table. And if we try to access a page that's out of bounds or invalid in some way, we'll trigger a page exception. So let's try another exercise. So here's our real desktop. It has 38 bits of physical addresses and 48 bits for its virtual address. And the pages are 2 to the 12 bytes. Oh, wait, hold on, 1 second. Yes, that's right. 2 to the 12 bits. So it's a 4 kilobyte memory. So even though it's a 64-bit machine, as we talked about before, the top 16 bits are just extended, and only the lower 48 bits are used for the virtual address. So how many page table entries are in this program? And how large are the physical page numbers? So anybody has any ideas? You do? Yeah. Oh, okay. No, it's okay. You could try. I mean, okay. 38 bits. So how do we calculate the number of page table entries? So the number of page table entries are going to be dependent on the number of virtual page numbers. And pages are 2 to the 12th, so there are 12 bits for offset. And so 48 minus 12 would be 36. So the remaining 36 bits are going to be associated with the virtual page number. And so there are 2 to the 36 possible virtual pages. And so how big are the physical page numbers? So physical addresses are 39 bits. 12 bits of those are going to be used for the page offset. And so 39 minus 12, this would be 27 bits. So any questions on how I calculated this? OK. Great. So we have 2 to the 36 possible entries. And each of them are 27 bits, just for the page numbers. And on this particular machine, the page tables are 8 bytes in size. And so 2 to the 36 entries, 8 bytes, which is 2 to the third. So that's going to take up a total of 2 to the 39 bytes, which is equivalent to 512 gigabits of space just for a single page table. This is obviously not scalable on a per process basis. So any questions on this? So huge virtual page sizes. We have these massive virtual page sizes. So it's going to be impossible to store the page table entry for every page. So how can we save space? What are some strategies that we can use to save space? So we can notice that there are all these holes here in our memory. And all of these holes, this one, we don't have to actually store these addresses. We can come up with a strategy for compressing them. And so the basic idea is that we don't store any invalid entries in our page table. And we come up with a data structure other than a flat array to kind of store these. So, yeah. No compressions to the virtual page table would result in any, like, I can't foresee a flaw in that way. You just have to, every time you have an invalid entry, you'd have to allocate a new page table associated with it. But there's no security vulnerability that I can think of. Charles, do you have a, no? Okay.
It's more complicated.
Yeah, I don't think it adds anything. So one approach might be that you've kind of seen from 2150 or from another kind of simple data structure class is this notion of a hash table in which you create some hash function to do this kind of mapping. So in this way, you have bins. But this is not very commonly used by processors. The other approach is this tree data structure approach. And it's not quite a search tree, but what we're going to do is we're going to have multiple levels of indirection in the page table. And so these lookups are usually implemented in hardware, and so we want to keep them simple. And we don't want them to have a lot of memory accesses. And so as we look at this tree structure-based approach, we could have two-level tables. So our first table is we'll have our virtual page numbers, and it will have a range of virtual page numbers. And this will actually point to another virtual page. And this will have all of the page table entries for virtual page 1, 2, 3, and so on. And then this will point to our final space with our actual page table entry. And so for our invalid entries, these are where we had our big holes from before, we will not need to allocate any memory, no virtual pages. We won't have to have any virtual pages that point off of this tree. So any questions on this indirection approach? So as we kind of zoom in, if we look at our first virtual page table, we'll have, are you guys following or lost? How many people are following? Okay. All right. How many people are lost? Where did we get lost? The idea with the two-tiered approach is that instead of having a long contiguous table, you can break the table up. So this would point to ranges 1 through 5. So that would be in this table, 0 through 5. And then this one could point to ranges 7 through 9. And this would be in this table. And so for ranges 6 through 7, we don't have a table allocated for that. So
does this have kind of like a space time trade-off? Like, so it's
We do have to have multiple accesses. So we will have to go in and access a first page table. So we do increase the number of reads to memory. So that is a disadvantage. Okay. So another question? Okay. Great. So this would give us our next page table. So our first page table for page ranges 0 through FF, and then our valid bit and our kernel bit, and whether or not the right enable bit is set for that. And this would point to another physical page table, which we could then look up in using another part of our virtual page number to find the final physical page number. And so, whoops, as we do this breakout, yeah. So here, our first page number, the first two bits, or two, the first byte of our page number would get us the index into our first page table. And so this would give us our first value. And then our second bits, parts of our virtual page address, would give us the entries into our second table, our second level of indirection. And so we can use the first part of our address to go here. Once we return that particular page location, we can use the second part of our address to go here. And then we'll have our final page table entry. So any questions on this? That's a lie. So hash tables are a great data structure, right? But what type of hash function would you pick here? And as you go through your CS career, you'll learn that there are more data structures than hash tables.
The other thing is, as the slide mentioned, there have been processors which use hash tables.
Yes.
But what's the main complication with that is that you have to
pick a good hash function.
Well,
yeah.
It's so, annoying to deal with, especially if you want to implement this lookup part.
Yeah. So imagine, I guess from your from the hash functions that you've seen so far have been take the key and then map it to some integer. So there are other hash functions. One is linear probing. So in linear probing, you have a hash function that maps it, but the way you deal with overflow is you kind of pop over to the next section. Yeah. So some people have seen linear probing. So imagine with a linear probing strategy, right? As you kind of hop over, all of those are memory accesses. So that's even worse than this.
Would you just
change it?
It's still more memory accesses.
Still more memory accesses. So
yeah, there have been processors which do this.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure exactly how they've avoided that being really bad, but it means you can more memory accesses. The other reason, which we don't really get to, is that modern processors support variable size pages, which we are not talking about.
That's true. That's true. But there will be, you will encounter in your life more data structures that are a lot more efficient than hash tables. Like Bloom filters, union finds, you'll discover there's a whole world of data structures. But good question. Thank you for stopping me. I felt like I was just droning on. So we could split this virtual page, this virtual address into two sections. So the first part of our virtual page will be used to access our first table, and then the second part is going to be used to access the page table that we retrieve from the first section, and then the last one we're going to send for our page offset. So we have the same concept of our base table, our page table base register, and we're going to multiply the first value by our page table entry size, and we're going to add it, and that will give us our first Well, I guess I should draw it here to our cache. I'll give us our first address to look up. And so this will return another list of virtual pages, particularly this part of the page, and then the physical page that's associated with it. And we'll also get our valid bits on our kernel mode bits and all our metadata that we can then check. So we can check whether or not it's valid, and then we can split it into the next section that's going to give us the location of the next table. So we can scale that by the page table entry size. And we can take this address, add it to that scaled page table size, and then use this as our second access into memory here. And this is going to return our final page table entry with any other valid bits and so on, and that we can check. So I have a cleaner version of this. So we scale it by the offset. We index into the virtual page scaled by the page table entry size. I forgot that. Add those two. So this would be our new base table base register. And we use this to access memory. And we'll get our page table entry back. We split it to get our final physical address. And we check all the bits to make sure that we're not reading something that's kernel mode only or not valid. And then we pair that with our final address to get our final physical address that we then send to memory. Yeah?
So in this case, our physical address is smaller than our virtual is always because?
Yes, in this case, the physical addresses are a lot smaller than our virtual addresses. But it doesn't, I guess you can imagine storing in this section like a very large physical address. It could be a lot larger. So what's even worse, now we went from having two memory accesses, and now we're at three. And so we're scaling with the size, number of page tables, the number of indirection tables that we kind of have. So we have our first level page table lookup, and then our second level page table lookup. And together, we have these two page table lookups that keep going. And so one of the things I guess we should kind of point out is that your book draws it this way. So don't, as you're kind of thinking about it, make sure that you're noting that as you're looking up the virtual page number in the first table and getting the page table entry, that page table entry is being used. In this case, addresses are shown as decreasing, so this is lowest to highest, to retrieve the second level page table that is then indexed in using the next part of the virtual page number to get your last page table entry, which is then used to get the last set of